Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to this worship service. We're being broadcasting here from North Star Mennonite Church in Drake, Saskatchewan. I'm Irene Bartel, and we'll be sharing some of the opening comments and prayers. And Pastor Dan will share with us part two on North Star Mennonite Church history and God's faithfulness to us in the wilderness. It's now been 10 Sundays since we haven't worshiped together as a church. Yes, there are lots of online sermons, podcasts, music we can listen to, and musings, stories, and articles we can read to build our faith. But that face-to-face connection is how God created us to be, and I'm really missing it. But Thursday, Premier Mo said worship services will be allowed after June 8th. We're going to wait for some details more on that and some rules to follow, so keep your eye out on email. But in the meantime, enjoy the nicer temperatures. Try to ignore the wind. I know it's hard, but when you meet neighbors in your distant, appropriate space, visit with them. Encourage each other. Saskatchewan is opening up, and we will meet together again soon. I'd like to open our worship by reading the words of a familiar hymn. I thought these were so appropriate for these times. This hymn was first written in German by Joachim Neuwander, entitled Lobe den Herrn. In the church I grew up in, I remember singing this song in German, which at the time I thought was God's language. In fact, in our church, the language is one of the reasons why the church made a sister church. So growing up, I spoke German, and I listened to German in church and at home and for my grandparents. So me thinking the godly language was kind of a teaching from church. And sometimes church teaches us things that aren't maybe scriptural, but it does influence us. And it'll be interesting when Dan shares how the church was influenced by some of these things too. Luckily, this German songwriter, I studied a bit, and he only lived to be 30 years. But he made such a great impression. He was known as the greatest songwriter for the English, the Reformed Church, I think it was. And luckily for us today, Miss Winkworth, she was the translator who translated a lot of his songs. And like some students in our time now that are educated by their mothers at home, Miss Winkworth was also educated by her mom in her early years because there was some kind of epidemic in the 1600s in the world at that time. So I thought that was interesting and how it fitted with us today here. So listen to the words of Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Come, all who hear now to his temple, draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord above all things, so wonderfully reigning, sheltering you under his wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord, who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriends you. Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever adore him. Let's pray. Lord, accept our time of worship as an adoration to you. God of history and eternity, you came among us in Jesus so that we might come to know you and love you as he did. Thank you for being present with us now as we worship. Teach us as we listen to Pastor Dan and share about finding God's grace in the wilderness through North Star Church history. Through Jesus' life, you have given us a pattern for living and taught us to love one another and forgive as we have been forgiven. By his death and resurrection, you promise that nothing can separate us from your love, not even our physical separation because of this pandemic. In ascending to be united with you, Jesus is now present to every creature in every corner of creation. And so we wait with hopeful anticipation for the fullness of your redemption, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. God of our days and all the days to come, we confess that we feel lost, waiting for your promised redemption in such uncertain times. You made us for unity in community, yet we have nursed grievances and settled for unresolved tensions. You commissioned us to be witnesses to Christ's ministry, yet we find it hard to share our experiences of your love and grace with others. Forgive us for accepting disunity instead of working through differences. Forgive us for failing to share the good news of Christ's love, even with those closest to us. Amen. Now hear these words of assurance. Friends, hear the good news. Jesus Christ is our high priest and advocate, interceding before God the Father on our behalf. Know that his love for us is undying. Trust that you are forgiven through his grace and with his courage. Forgive one another. You have been sent the bulletin and just a few announcements that maybe I'll highlight. We're looking for pictures to put on our church website. So these could include worship or church activities, Sunday school, clubs, etc. Please email any appropriate photos to the church and they'll be put on our website. For information concerning, because of these hard times, I think sometimes we need a little help. And there's lists on the bulletin boards in the church of registered psychologists and counselors, and these are recommended by Christian Counseling Services. Please notice them and take advantage of them if you need. Joyce continues to receive our offering through her mailbox. And thank you for your donations and continue to put them in there. This seventh Sunday of Easter closes with Christ's ascension. We continue to receive Easter blessings God pours out for us in Christ and in creation. For God is so good to us. We want to offer God our thanks for this goodness through our tithes and offerings. Let's pray for our offering. Eternal and ever-present God, we offer you these gifts and thanksgiving for the work of Christ in our lives. Bless them and us with the power of the Spirit, enlisting all our gifts Christ has given us for the work of reconciliation in the world you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's prepare to hear the words of Scripture. Loving God, send your Holy Spirit to give us attentive minds and open hearts, so that we may hear your word more clearly and love you more fully. Through Christ, your living word. Amen. I'll be reading a portion that Luke wrote in his second volume concerning the genesis of the Christian movement. Doesn't perceive Jesus' teaching during this mysterious meetings with his emissaries after his death. Surely, his disciples were filled with joy and curiosity and amazement as his followers hang on to every word and gaze on the reality of his body resurrection as he describes the kingdom of God. And I think that time for the disciples must have been amazing. So Luke writes in Ephesians 1, 1 to 11, and I'll be reading from, I think it's the Good News translation I chose. I didn't write it down, but if you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's Ephesians 1, 1 to 11. Dear Theophilus, in my first book, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven, and they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. So far, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The scripture texts I have are Philippians 1, 2 to 11, very familiar ones, and Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14, and that too is familiar, but I'll be reading them as part of the meditation. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at North Star, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Anointed. Whenever you cross my mind, I thank my God for you and for the gift of knowing you. My spirit is lightened with joy whenever I pray for you, and I constantly do, because you have partnered with me to spread the gospel since the first day I preached to you. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. It is only right that I should feel such admiration for you all. You hold me close to your hearts. And since we are partners in this great work of grace, you have never failed to stand with me as I have defended and stood firm for the gospel. Before God, I want you to know how much I long to see you and love you with the affection of the Anointed One, Jesus. That was Philippians 1. 1-8. This is a continuation of the sermon 3 weeks ago and last week's sermon. And next week we'll continue our look at history and how God has been working in our congregation. In the 1940s, the ordinance of foot washing was discontinued, but the library was organized. During the decade of 1947 to 1956, there were two major developments. One was physical and one was spiritual. People decided to join the country church and the town church together. They became one congregation in town, and there were revival meetings in February 1954. I suspect meeting together in town, even though I came across no rationale, one was simply there were better roads and people had cars. You didn't have to depend on horse and buggy as much. So transportation was easy. There's always, even with spiritual decisions, there's often just simply a geographic or technology or some other kind of event. As often occurs in major changes, tension arose, and this delayed the decision about becoming one congregation in one building. The town church was overcrowded. Various delays took place as it took time to find a way forward together. I believe there were a number of votes taken. It took about 4 or 5 years to come to an agreement and then get the new building built, with May 27, 1956 as the date of dedication. Reading church history is interesting because of what is not mentioned. So often troubles between peoples or families or issues that are used to display power are not mentioned, or if they are mentioned or alluded to are downplayed, especially when there's regular patterns of tension. Much of what is being shared are simply facts and at the most impressions. Even in many Bible stories, we get general information and only get a hint of the interpersonal jockeying for control, which causes us to guess at what goes on beneath the story. So we have to make guesses at people's motives and often their behaviors. And, you know, over time, with a lot of study, I think we probably are pretty accurate with some of the Bible events. The same is true here, and possibly more so because it's recent history and we are related to each other. But knowing human nature, stories of apologies and repentance are what make faith real and alive. Stories of a third way being decided on teach us how to live together. Stories of God being present in various ways are heartwarming. So these need to be shared and told. This makes faith authentic and meaningful. The stories make for teachable moments. At one point in our marriage, Rose and I realized that our children knew when we disagreed, but they never saw us make up or heard about or understood the process of coming to some decision, to some agreement. So how would they learn? So we intentionally at times let the kids know we had worked things out and still loved each other. And sometimes we actually explained our thinking and process. And a few times, if I remember correctly, we actually intentionally just talked in front of them about an issue. Obviously, we picked our issues. You know, depending on age of children and things like that, what they can handle makes a difference. But this kind of openness is needed with church history. So it was good to read the following. It seems that much of the building time was also a time of celebration. In spite of the hard work, there was good comradeship. So many humorous anecdotes came out of the daily routine, most of it in the working language of Low German. For example, one day, one individual was a little perturbed at another for cutting a perfectly good board too short. The response was that he had already cut the board 3 times and it was short each time. And it was heartwarming to discover that there was no hurry to tear down or remove the country church building. How can one walk away from this God-given place of gathering God's people, where children played and people got married, and so many people's lives revolved around it? The building held spiritual memories. I'm sure the inner turmoil of some, possibly many, was great. Change, even good changes, always carries some loss. The other major development in the 1947 to 1956 decade was spiritual. It seems that with Reverend John D. Friesen, a revival began. The church leadership intentionally planned for evangelistic meetings, but when he showed up, nothing had been done or prepared. The focus on church expansion or building may have diverted people's attention, or people had a mixture of excitement but uneasiness about revival. This is not unusual. Satan even uses good things to sidetrack us. John D. Friesen's book, in his book, Holding Forth the Word of Life, quotes the pastor's wife as responding, "In our church, the members do not come to prayer meetings, except maybe a few grandmothers and some retired clergymen might come. However, they went ahead with the meetings." Quoting from Reverend Friesen's book, "The afternoon sessions were in the German language and the evening service in English. We began the pre-service prayer with a few grandmothers and retired ministers. Soon there was weeping, praying, confession, reconciliations, and praising God together. Before the first weekend, all Sunday school classrooms were filled with spiritually hungry people, saved and unsaved. We counseled unbelievers before the service. Every evening, the platform was filled with soul-sick people who responded to the altar call. Young and old came, with some staunch members behind the scenes discouraging this type of approach. Day by day, people called, asking for help with marriage conflicts and assistance to settle family feuds. The farm forum meetings fell flat because people were in church. Curling finals were canceled because the participants had given Christ preeminence. A Catholic school principal wondered about the changed attitude of his students. Many old debts were paid during the second week of the meetings and in the weeks that followed. People began to freely share their testimony of meeting the Lord for salvation, sanctification, and dedication for service. To God be the glory." Jake Driediger, who put together Historia Trivia Bulletin inserts for the 1996 90-year celebration, continues the story. "God's Spirit was at work with power in the lives of the people of the church and many from the larger community who came to the services. People made special efforts to make confession of sin and plead for forgiveness from their neighbors. Many who had never considered teaching Sunday school, going to Bible study, or prayer meetings did so eagerly. There was a great hunger for the Word of God, and Bible studies during the week became the norm. A new awareness of the lostness of friends and family members became a special concern. It brought on a church involvement in crusades for Christ in surrounding communities. Most of all, it instilled a new love for God in Christ and a new love and unity in the church and the community." Jake concludes historical trivia number 8 by commenting, "Last week I wrote about the building of a new church. Did you notice a sudden coming together of the people of the two churches with a willingness to build and be one people in one place of worship? I am persuaded that it was a dynamic of the Holy Spirit renewal that transformed the people of North Star Church to a new becoming of God's people in love and unity of purpose. Church history shows that when the Holy Spirit moves, miracles occur. Miracles of confession and forgiveness. Miracles of healing relationships and changing to being truer followers of Jesus Christ. Greater need for prayer. Greater desire to dive into and learn from God's word. Restitution occurs. In short, We become more disciplined and stronger on our faith journey. We become convinced, convicted, and converted. And this also occurs with people who have been following Jesus. They move into a closer, tighter walk with our Lord and Savior. Revivals are a gift from the Almighty God that we need to join in with, pay attention to, and learn from. But church history shows it's hard to sustain the movement of the Holy Spirit that occurs in a revival. Obviously, with revivals, there is excitement as well as resistance. New spiritual dynamics are always embraced as well as feared. Change may be invited or forced, and loss of control is always opposed. Like today, some people want to get back to normal, but will we be able to embrace the new normal, whatever that turns out to be with the coronavirus? And even more, can we mimic our biological and spiritual ancestors in their positive traits or finding their way to this promised land while resisting the temptations of wilderness living? Instead, let's embrace the gifts and opportunities in learning that wilderness living offers us. Please listen to these two scriptures with two focuses in mind. Church history, with facts and accomplishments, is one. But more importantly, what our Savior already has and wants to offer us more of spiritually. Here's what I pray for you, Father. May their love grow more and more in wisdom and insight. And it's interesting, love is tied to wisdom and insight. Worth pondering. So that they will be able to examine and determine the best from everything else. And on the day of the Anointed One, the day of His judgment, let them stand pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that ripens through Jesus the Anointed. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. This is what the Lord says, I will come to you and fulfill my great promise, my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places and will bring you back together from where I carried you, declares the Lord. That's the Jeremiah text. In the decade of 1957 to 1966, there was much to change organizationally as one congregation. The church language was German, as was with many Mennonite congregations, but the shift to English was slow and resolute. The reluctance to change came from several fronts. For some, the change watered down the distinct culture of the Low German working language. Almost all of the training of leaders had been in German, so they needed to learn the English biblical terminology. You heard at the beginning of this time some of Irene's experiences with German. The change also was to accommodate their children and grandchildren who were not fluent in German. Then there was a low esteem and distrust for German-speaking people in society because of two world wars. And I suspect the change was harder for women who were not forced to use English in their daily lives unless they were out and about and away from the farms, doing business and shopping. For others, changing to English came with a keen sense of evangelism to the larger community. In 1949, at an annual meeting, the youth stated they would like an English service once a month in each of the two meeting places. In Drake, this change had already occurred in the early 1920s with an independent group who were known as the English Mennonite Church. But when the new North Star place of worship was built in the village in 1928, most of those with Mennonite background joined and reverted back to German. But gradually, with Sunday school and then in the country church, incremental change occurred with different worship services, along with having dual language services, or one service with two speakers, one for each language. In 1964, a new pastor was hired whose German church language was limited. Then in the fall of 1966, The Brotherhood decided that in the search for a new pastor, he would not be expected to preach in German. This was a tough time for many persons. It's normal for people to feel lost in chaos in the wilderness. I can attest to my own experience. When we returned from 9 years in Brazil, I was surprised I could not pray in English. I found it very awkward. It was not a lack of knowledge of English. It was just that my personal prayer language was Portuguese. It's what I was used to. It took several years for me to adjust and feel comfortable. For many immigrants, familiar scripture verses, preaching terminology, and the words of many hymns they have grown up with are gone from public worship. They have to learn a new church language, even if they know English. But for the younger generations, they found new life in a worship language they could freely participate in. The language change to only English took about 20 years, gradually and carefully. This is a familiar story, not just with Mennonites, but continues today with many immigrants. It is commendable that on this point, the church did not divide into two language-focused congregations. One draws the conclusion there must have been much love, tolerance, and understanding, working toward the good of everyone and for the witness of the congregation in the community. Thanks be to God. Also in those years, many more changes were necessary, maybe even overdue. One example is the unthinkable occurred. For 57 years, an elder always served for life. But on September 22, 1963, Reverend Paul Schroeder resigned to answer God's call to serve the Rostern congregation. He had served as leader in this congregation for about 20 years. During this decade and later, changes in leadership and other circumstances necessitated a change in the traditional way of doing church. A movement was beginning to take shape, which took the almost total responsibility of the church program falling on a few to a many-faceted structural people base of leadership. The movement to our present, more efficient shared congregational board leadership system had begun. The decade of 1967 to 1976 was also a time of great change. By one count, more than 40 first-time ideas were put into practice. It makes me wonder how many more were rejected. The congregational structure was changed along with a new constitution. The church programs extended into many new areas. More young people attended Bible school, college, and university. Local and international outreach efforts began. In 1969 was the first congregational meeting with every member having equal voice and voting rights. And the first deaconess was elected in 1973. All this matched the changes going on in the wider church, as well as society. Makes one wonder, do we change because society changes, or do we change because God leads us? Or, you know, which is first, the egg or the chicken? North Star Mennonite congregation made some very difficult, yet mostly redemptive decisions during this decade. One can imagine the excitement and tensions that occurred. And it must be remembered that not only was the church changing, so was society, farming practices, technology was growing by leaps and bounds, as well as transportation. So we have much to be thankful for today. A rich heritage, being part of God's story here at Drake. Not just the surviving hard wilderness times, but also not being diverted from the Almighty's way in the good times. Even now, though, it's not unusual to hear people remembering the good old days when they look to the future. These are all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Praise be to the Holy Creator, Almighty God. They found grace in the wilderness as they learned to adapt to great social and technological changes and not get sidetracked. Amen. Let's turn to our prayer time. And if you have the bulletin, you can follow along with some of this. It's not all there, but most of it is. And we'll begin by just having some silence for your own personal requests, concerns, joys, thankfulness. Let's begin. Dear Jesus, we pray for a safe, quick, and successful planting, seeding season. We remember those among us who are in retirement nursing homes. Continue to protect them as well as the staff. And we continue with the prayers for the pandemic, the 20 prayers. Here are five more. We pray for expectant mothers who face the prospect of labor and delivery without the support team they planned for. God, deliver them from fear and fill them with joy as they witness new life. We also lift up for women facing unexpected pregnancy in this time of economic crisis. God, help them to find the practical and emotional support they need to keep them from seeking abortions. We also remember churches, parachurch ministries, and other Christian organizations doing online evangelism and discipleship. God, bless our imperfect digital efforts and continue to advance the kingdom of Jesus through your people. We lift up those dying alone in hospitals and for their loved ones. God, draw near to them and by your mercy let them encounter God, the friend who never leaves and never forsakes. And help the staff, the nurses and doctors and aides, to give the comfort they can, that their loved ones can't give them. And we also pray for those involved with politics at every level. God, help our leaders to work collaboratively and communicate efficiently, setting aside self-interest for the common good. God, we acknowledge that you spoke the world into being and continue to sustain it with your word. We trust in your wisdom, power, and goodness. Help us at every opportunity to love as you loved and to serve as you serve. Give us courage to speak of our hope in Jesus, who suffered for us, rose from the dead, and is coming again. Gracious God, you desire unity for your people in the world and unity between heaven and earth. We thank you for drawing us together as your community of faith and united in your love, even in times when it's hard to gather. Equip us to witness to your promise of resurrection and new life as we serve you in the world. Hear us as we pray for your world. God, we worry about the way things are going. Daily life has been uprooted by the pandemic and also by war and environmental devastation and drought and hunger. Send your spirit of healing and reconciliation to lead people to peace with justice. Heal the earth and bring hope for renewed relationships. Help us learn from this anxious time how you invite us to live in balance with each other and with your whole creation. God, we are concerned about all the divisions we see around us, many laid bare in responses to the pandemic. Communities are torn apart by suspicion and discrimination. People are judged severely by race and ethnic origin. Send your spirit of healing and reconciliation to open hearts filled with prejudice and ease the lives suffering its effects. Heal the hurt and bring hope for lasting unity. We also pray for the work and healing and reconciliation in Canada between Indigenous peoples and those who have settled in this land. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide our leaders and build trust and respect among us all. Heal the lives limited by misunderstanding and bring hope for just resolutions to problems of long standing. Increase a spirit of generosity as the nation begins to rebuild social structures damaged in the pandemic, so that the needs of Indigenous peoples will not be overlooked. Creator God, we feel sadness for those whose lives are marked by isolation and fear, by grief or despair. Effects deepen by the times of physical distancing. Send your spirit of healing and reconciliation to draw the lonely into friendships, and as society begins to reopen, create a true sense of belonging for each one. Heal any burden of grief and bring hope through your eternal friendship. Almighty God, we are hopeful for the church because it belongs to you. Send your Holy Spirit to guide our witness in the world. Teach us how to share our experience of your love and invite others to join the journey toward healing and reconciliation. We ask for continued blessing and protection as our society relaxes the pandemic guidelines. We pray for help to not be careless, but to continue to be careful and be concerned for everyone. And Menno Media has been offering different kinds of wisdom from different Mennonite leaders. And I thought this prayer would be a good one. It's from Carl Yusefitz, who I interacted with a few times in eastern Pennsylvania. He's a chaplain at the Penn Foundation. Good and gracious God, we believe that the world you created is good, and that even when we face difficult times, as we do these days, we continue trusting in your providential love. During this pandemic, our minds and hearts are all over the place with concern, fear, and worry. Help us remember that as a nation and as individuals, we have been through difficult times before, and trust the lessons we learned, that we are all in this together. We are all vulnerable, and we all need each other. We ask you to help us to find practical ways to put that faith into action as we navigate the days and weeks ahead. Jesus, we thank you again for the many ways you have seen our church through difficult times. And we ask your help to continue to be exemplary witnesses and faithful followers. Amen. As a benediction, I offer these words. May the Lord, who brought us to birth by his Spirit, strengthen us for the Christian life. May the Lord, who provides for all our needs, sustain us day by day. May the Lord, whose steadfast love is constant as a mother's care, send us out to live and work for others. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. So go into your week, knowing that you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any you have ever known. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace. Have a good week.